Short 5 minute segment here, and these are a couple clips from Nicholas Hulsher, who's always out there, kind of has an interesting delivery, very, very low energy. I think he needs to up his energy a little bit. Maybe he should get some Ultimate Energy, one of the products we do sell at thealexjonesstore.com. And I still think we have. I think it's 72% off for the first 1,000 people who subscribe to Ultimate Energy or Ultimate Chill. You get it for like $16.99 for life. Boom. Natural caffeine and L-theanine. Very, you know, simple ingredients for great results. You know, caffeine, that picks you up. L-theanine kind of levels you out. And then the Ultimate Chill, kind of its cousin, its second cousin, which has magnesium and ashwagandha, which is known to just like kind of chill people out, and then more L-theanine. So right there. And what's interesting is the L-theanine works in both ways. It works helping you get that energy and then also bringing it down. So check that out. You can get the subscription at thealexjonesstore.com, 72% off. I think it's $16.99. After that, it's going to go up. And we still have a few more, not too many more left. The InfoWars cooler bundles. Like I said, use that cooler as your carry-on bag, and it doubles as a cooler when you get to your destination. Now I'm going to play these two Nicholas Hulsher clips. This is going to be, let's do clip 17 and then clip 15. Here they are.
The mRNA shots that the CDC and other organizations told pregnant women to get increase the risk of a leading cause of fetal and maternal death. And so this should be front page news everywhere. It's coming from the CDC's own mouth, their own study. And I haven't seen anyone else reporting on it. They compared 8,000 vaccinated pregnant women to 8,000 unvaccinated pregnant women. And so when comparing the vaccinated to the unvaccinated pregnant women, they found a 24% higher risk among vaccinated pregnant women of developing hypertensive disorders of pregnancy, which is one of the leading causes of fetal death and maternal death. And so the mom can die, they get a hypertensive crisis, the baby can die. In fact, it's the largest human cancer study with these antiparasitics. So what we had about 200 cancer patients prescribed ivermectin and mebendazole. About half reported either cancer disappearance or tumor regression, tumor shrinkage, and about 36% reported to have their cancers stabilized. So that is a 84.4% clinical benefit ratio, absolutely huge. There's over 100 preclinical studies, so laboratory and in the animals, of ivermectin, mebendazole, fembendazole, and cancer. There are over 12 distinct anti-cancer mechanisms across more than 12 cancer types with these antiparasitic compounds. And there's three key ones. One is ivermectin targets cancer stem cells. Chemo does not get rid of those. Those are the source of some of these cancers that keep them. They basically cause reoccurrence of cancers, even if you appear to eliminate them. So you want to get rid of those. Ivermectin appears to in the laboratory studies. It also, mebendazole disrupts what's called microtubules. This is critical for cell division in cancer cells. So you cut that off, these cancer cells will have a hard time to divide. And mebendazole also inhibits glucose metabolism in cancer cells, which cancers love to feed on glucose. They love sugar. You cut off their ability to uptake the sugar, they're going to have a hard time to propagate in the body. So we have very promising preclinical mechanisms explaining why we saw such a positive clinical benefit ratio in the human data.
All right, we'll be right back after this. Amazing information. Stuart Rhodes coming up.
for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80. We sell them for like $40. We'll be right back.
The broadcasters of your area, in voluntary cooperation with federal, state, and local authorities, have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Rob Doo. Watch it live right now at band.video.
And it's interesting, the left is always, I don't know if these guys are left or not, but I remember Jello Biafra redoing, taking an Ozzy Osbourne lick, doing an Ice-T album and putting everybody under martial law when you listen to the album. And I remember listening to that and I'm like, wow, man, these guys get it. And then when, you know, anybody on the right or anything comes along, it's like, they're fascist. They're this and they're that. It's all the same. Two arms of the same devil. So my guest, good friend of mine, my former attorney who helped fight my unjustly imprisonment, Stuart Rhodes, is on the line with us. Stuart, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yes, brother. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great, loud and clear. Yesterday we reported Joe Biggs, I guess the DOJ is requesting that the courts throw out, requesting to the courts that they throw out these seditious conspiracy charges against a few of the Proud Boys. Were you included in that?
Yes. Yeah, it's for all 8 remaining Oath Keepers who received commutations not pardoned, mm-hmm. and the 4 remaining Proud Boys. So all 12 of us who were still not pardoned are included because we all have active appeals in front of the D.C. Court of Appeals. And so the DOJ has decided to file a motion for each one of us with the D.C. Court of Appeals, asking the court to vacate these sentences and then to remand the cases back to our trial courts so that the DOJ can then move the trial courts to dismiss the underlying indictments. So in the end, if this goes forward as we hope it will, it'll be even better than a pardon. It'll be a clean slate, wiping out.
Be like it never happened.
Be like it never happened, except for, you know, of course, we lost our, you know, years of our lives and all the other stuff. But yes, it'll be actually better than a pardon. So for guys like myself, Joe Biggs, Dominic Pozzola, Kenny Harrelson, Jessica Watkins, that are military veterans, lost all of our disability, mm-hmm. it'll restore our ability to have our disability restored, and we'll hopefully get back pay.
Right.
In addition to our right to bear arms and all the other rights that we've lost as felons.
And just to be clear, we had Joe on yesterday, and I think we had a typo in a headline that said he's already received this money. He hasn't received anything yet. He's got a letter.
No.
That's basically it. So right now you're looking at a letter, and if several processes happen. What's that?
It's a motion.
It's a motion, yeah.
Yeah.
But you were informed via that motion. Like, you received it and says, here's what we're going to do, you know.
Right. So they ran it by our attorneys. Our attorneys did not oppose it. So that's why it says it's an unopposed, uncontested motion. Both sides agree that we agree to it. It's like, okay, let them go ahead and do that. And that's why it's very likely that D.C. Court of Appeals will grant it. Historically, they give broad deference to motions like that from the DOJ. What it says is it doesn't admit anything in any particular guilt. It just says, in the interest of justice, we ask the court to vacate the sentences and remand so that we can then file. This is step 2. When it goes back to the trial court, if the D.C. Court of Appeals issues the order that they're asked to do, which I think they will, it then goes back to our trial judges. And the DOJ will then file a motion in front of the trial judges to dismiss with prejudice the underlying indictments, the underlying, you know, charges. And sure. So prejudice means that it can't be brought up again. It can't be charged again and retried. It'll be a done. And this was done for a lot of the people that were pardoned. If they had active appeals going, like I was talking to Roger Roots a little while ago. I was on Viva Fry with him. So he said, hey, you know, a lot of his cases, he had active appeals ready to go when President Trump pardoned them. That's what they did, is that they filed a motion to the Court of Appeals to vacate the sentences. And that's what was done. So this is really following the same pattern. It's really doing for us 12 what should have been done a long time ago. It's finally getting around to doing it for us too. And it's all on the eve of our briefs being filed.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
and do you think it was Pam Bondi that was holding this up? And I mean, have you gotten any inside information that it was Todd Blanche doing it, or was this something already in process and it just happened, you know, after she left and that was a coincidence?
I really don't know, but I just know what Joe Biggs said in another interview. He said that they were told, the Proud Boys were told, that they should thank Todd Blanche for this.
Okay.
So that might be true, but also here's how I look at it. This is putting my lawyer hat back on, you know, being a Yale law graduate, and I used to clerk for judges on the Supreme Court of Arizona. So I think it's an institutional decision by the DOJ to avoid potential bad outcomes in the appeal, like bad rulings for them on fact or on law that could hamper their ability to, like, use a seditious conspiracy statute in the future, for example, or just conspiracy charges in general. So there are a lot of problems in our cases. I mean, obviously, it was gross violation of free speech. They weaponized the DOJ and the system against us to punish our free speech. And so I think that one way to look at it is institutionally, the DOJ, you know, the case is already over, essentially, because we already, you know, we're in prison. President Trump set us free. So it's been resolved, except for now we have an appeal. So if they don't want to have to fight that appeal and then have a potential bad outcome for them legally, then this could be one way of washing their hands of it, is to do the same thing with us 12, as was done with the other J6ers who had active appeals when they were pardoned by President Trump. So that's what I think is part of the motivation. Now, could it also be political, that President Trump was tired of Pam Bondi and fired her and now wants to see results? That could be true also. So it could be political pressure from inside Trump administration itself to do something for us. And Enrique made a really good point when we were talking a little while ago on Vito's podcast, that this gives them a win, because even mm-hmm. the divide along Iran or the divide on Israel, that's a huge divide on the political right now within MAGA. But this gives them a win they can point to, that everyone in the MAGA,
you know, it's like an everyman win, you know, for them.
Everyone loves it, right? So yeah. I mean, like 99% of the people out there are in favor of this. So it does give them a win. Yeah.
And it's also because, you know, you have the new DOJ, which is, you know, Trump-based. The old DOJ was Biden-based. They were the ones who were weaponizing the judicial system against you guys. So it's like, hey, look, we're holding ourselves accountable. We're not saying we did anything wrong. And we still got seditious conspiracy in our pocket that we can use in the future. And these cases won't even ever be looked at because they're just going to go away. So even the bad stuff we did, we could still do that in the future under another administration, because really nothing's going to be done. But for these guys, they're going to be okay, which in your favor, it works out great. And, you know, it's going to work out, if it all goes through, in your favor very well.
Exactly. So it's a double-edged sword. They are preserving a horrible statute, this conspiracy statute, an ancient Civil War statute that provides no shelter for free speech, has no act element. It's extremely vulnerable, I believe, to constitutional challenge, especially in our cases. You know, the Brandenburg versus Ohio standard is that, you know, that court case is that all speech is protected unless it incites imminent unlawful activity that's also likely to occur. And that was not the standard applied in any of our cases. They use this old Civil War statute that has no shelter for free speech. So I think it's very vulnerable. I think it's both constitutionally overbroad and vague, unconstitutionally vague, because it could be used. And it was used to target free speech. And so I think that's why it's extremely vulnerable. And, of course, we have, well, the Proud Boys were, you know, did a great job in getting Jeremy Bertino to admit, you know, the Proud Boy that that testified falsely against him in the trial to admit in an affidavit and on video that he was coerced by threats of long imprisonment into turning on his brother Proud Boys and lying on the stand. And so that's a smoking gun that's out there. And then in the Oath Keeper trial, we got Harry Dunn and Officer Lazarus, who were caught by Steve Baker. He proved through video surveillance footage that they were lying on the stand when they said they were together when they had the so-called, you know, confrontation with the Oath Keepers in the Capitol, because Lazarus wasn't even there. He's in the tunnels under the Senate, and there's video of him doing that. And so they have a lot of problems. And one way to look at this is that this gives them a chance to not have to litigate all that in a criminal
and not look bad.
Trial. Not look bad, right? But not also have, you know, bad precedents. They lost the 1512, right? That was struck down by the Supreme Court. So it could be they're looking at this going, okay, we don't want to have the same thing happen in these cases with the seditious conspiracy statute because of all of this obvious prosecutorial misconduct and violation of constitutional rights. It's going to come out. We just go ahead and terminate these cases like they did. This is the point of, we should have Roger Roots on. Because he talked about that. He's like, hey, I had like a dozen cases of active appeals that were going on at the time that President Trump issued the pardon. And the pardon President Trump issued, aside from us 12, said, I want you to pardon these people and I want you to vacate all their sentences. Directed the DOJ, the new DOJ, to do that. So I think that this is going to follow the exact same pattern. And part of the reason why the DOJ wants to do this is so they don't have all the dirty laundry displayed in a criminal proceeding, in an appeal, and they don't have to worry about a bad outcome. So it's a win for them. It's a win for the DOJ as an institution. And in some ways, it's a win for the deep state because they can brush it under the rug, you know, for now at least.
But in the end, you'd rather have these charges vacated and not have to deal with it anymore. So
I'll take what I can get. It's a silver lining. And look, man, I'm a disabled vet, service-connected disabled vet. I've got a broken back with a spinal fusion from a parachuting accident in training when I was in the Army.
Yep.
I've been a disabled veteran since 1986. And, you know, you got Joe Biggs, disabled veteran. You got Katie Harrelson, Jessica Watkins, Ed Vallejo, Dominic Pozzola on the Proud Boys side, Zach Real. All veterans have lost all of our benefits. We're not going to get those back unless we're either pardoned or like this is. This is actually better than a pardon.
Yeah.
Because it vacates it as though it never happened. And we'll actually get back pay from our disability.
No, and that's kind of what happened in my case when I got wrongfully arrested back in 2009. I did some community service. Yeah, you were my attorney, but before you were, I'd done some community service, and they basically just wiped that clean. It was like I'd never been arrested. And then when you heard that, you're like, hey, we could go after them and sue them for wrongful arrest because, you know, they basically admitted they were wrong by doing this. And, you know, it wasn't groundbreaking or anything, but it was a little bit of justice for what they had done. And I mean, is this something, you know, obviously it's a long process. You've got to go back to the DOJ, then they kick it out. And then is there something you guys could do afterwards? Or do you think the government will come to you guys with some sort of resolution after that?
Well, I mean, so this is a criminal matter. As long as this, and I think it will be granted by the D.C. Court of Appeals. They have a pattern of going along with what the DOJ wants for all those reasons. So after this, we still have active civil claims. The Proud Boys have their lawsuit. I've got one. A bunch of J6s do through Peter Tichtin. It's winding its way through the system right now. But about this, they just said in the motion, it just says, in the interest of justice, we ask the court to do this. That's all it says. Yeah. It doesn't admit any wrongdoing. There's no admission of guilt or wrongdoing or violation of rights or criminality at all. And so one way to look at this also is that this allows them to, like I said, they don't have to worry about bad facts or you know, bad findings of fact or law by the Court of Appeals that could hurt them. And we bring our civil claims. They can just wash that out, not have to worry about that, and just deal with our civil claims when they come up. We'll still have the burden of proof of proving that they acted wrongly, that we were damaged. We got to overcome their, you know, their qualified immunity or their immunity.
And you won't have that smoking gun essentially from this to go, hey, here's the smoking gun now, which is a lot easier to do if you already have that. You know, now you have to prove everything from the ground up.
They still have the, you know, the video testimony of Bertino and his affidavit. You know, we still got the, you know, some smoking gun of those two officers, in my case, Harry Dunn and Lazarus, lying on the stand. So we still have those facts, but no, there's no ruling by a court that could benefit us. That's the advantage to the DOJ for not letting our, you know, for basically washing out our appeals by terminating our convictions. This gets rid of our appeals. They don't have to worry about fighting that fight and having those bad outcomes potentially. Now they just have to fight the fight when we bring our civil claims.
Wow. Let's change the subject just a little bit. You actually contacted me or one of the other guys looking for Savannah Hernandez's contact information. Right. 'Cause she was attacked just, you know, by out there. She wasn't even interviewing people. She was just filming, and she gets attacked by a family, a mother, a father, big
angry dad and angry daughter. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And now it looks like, well, they haven't even filed charges against these people yet. They're like, well, we're still interviewing, you know, at least the state police haven't in Minnesota. They're just like, well, we're going to look at everything. I mean, I don't know how long it takes to look at all the pieces of evidence that were there. It was like a 4-minute confrontation, right. You know,
clear assault. I mean,
totally assault. And I think the whistle thing is the biggest one. When these people think they can blow out your eardrums and that it's okay.
No, it's not. It's beyond that. The daughter threw hands at Savannah.
Oh, 100%.
And then the father comes up. Now altercation's over. The father comes up from behind. He can't claim he was defending his daughter because Savannah walking away, and he shoves her from behind and assaults her. Any unwanted touching is assault. Now it's assault and battery. Like you said, the blowing in your ear. I would say that's actually assault and battery itself because you are damaging your eardrum. But no, the clearest obvious assault was the daughter throwing punches at Savannah and then the dad running up from behind her, like a 250-pound guy, and shoving her hard. That guy.
Yeah. You can see it in that one shot. You can see him coming up from behind. There's a better shot of it with somebody from behind where you see it. And it's like...
Clearly assault. Absolutely. Which was enraging, frankly, to me.
Yeah.
I got a call out, Turning Point USA. They have millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. And they sent her out there after they saw what happened to Jake Lang when he was in Minneapolis and what they've seen happen to others. They sent her out there with no protection at all. It's inexcusable. So, that's why this is so frustrating. I said, okay, if they're not going to protect her, then we will. Like, you know, Enrique Chario and I were just in the streets in Dallas protecting Alex Stein during the No Kings protest. Mm-hmm. He asked last minute for protective detail, and we did it. And we kept him from getting assaulted. So we will do the same for her. But apparently, I guess now they're embarrassed enough to actually give her security, which is great. But it's just inexcusable for them to send out a reporter, any reporter, especially a small female reporter who is vulnerable to being beaten or seriously injured or killed. It's just inexcusable.
I don't know if she's an employee or an independent contractor over at Turning Point, but they do have plenty of money.
Some of their masthead.
Oh, I know.
She's there representing them. That's why she was targeted. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, it's all right.
As she said in interviews afterwards, she was targeted because she was there on behalf of Turning Point.
Sure. And people think it's open season on Turning Point because, you know, they don't see anything happen to him. Look at this guy.
Yeah, he's a psycho. So I wish I'd have been there. That would not have happened if I'd have been there. And same thing goes for, you know, I would have brought other men with me. There's no way that would have happened.
Exactly.
And that's exactly why, you know, we're going to be stepping back out. I've already made this clear. I'm rebuilding Oath Keepers, and we will be in the street for that exact reason, for psychos like that, because, you know, they don't care about the law in Minneapolis. They don't fear the law. They think they're going to get a pass. And even if you do get a prosecution, it's like a cold comfort for a dead journalist or a paralyzed journalist. Being shoved to the ground like that, you know, she could have hit her head and then people have die all the time from landing on concrete on their head. So it's serious. It's potentially lethal force when someone that big pushes someone like her onto the concrete.
Yeah, it's why we don't have men and women competing in MAA against each other, because the women would get, well, I guess they do have a couple of trans MMA fighters.
Not in the UFC, they don't. But look, she has absolutely every right to be out there. And 100%. What if she says, I was not interviewing people. I wasn't even engaging. It doesn't matter. She has a right to go interview people. So she has every right, like every American does, to go in public and speak. And as a journalist, she has even more protections, you would think, as a journalist. It's just horrible what they allowed it. And they do it on purpose. the entire political structure in Minneapolis is just like we saw in Portland, Oregon, like we saw in Berkeley, California. Anywhere where they're dominant, they don't care about the First Amendment. In fact, they're hostile to the First Amendment. And they let their, they turn a blind eye to this behavior.
Savannah's got good core power. She got knocked to the ground and came right back up right there.
Exactly. I wish it had been Kara Castroneva. That would have been hilarious.
She's a boxer.
Professional boxer. And also, she was a wrestler in high school. That would have been awesome to watch that one.
Yeah.
That would have been great. So Savannah needs to go and learn some MMA, apparently. But no, definitely. She shouldn't have to.
That should be her next video.
I'll bring men that already are trained. And I'm sure Enrique agrees. We just, you know, bring Oathkeepers and Proud Boys. And the left loses their minds. They saw us together. In
Dallas. Oh, yeah. They would totally flip out. And it would be great. Oh. I mean, I love to see that outrage. I actually am. It energizes me seeing that outrage when they see, especially when they see the black and gold coming at them. And you guys are what, black and brown? It's going to be.
Our colors are the same.
You're the same colors?
Look at my coffee cup. Yeah.
Black and gold, baby. It's coming at you. Hey, I'm going to give out the phone number. Do you want to stay over next segment and take some phone calls with me? I'm going to start taking them now and go till the end. I got
If you don't mind, let me let folks know what I'm doing.
Let me put the number up real quick so we can start loading them up for next year. Put that at 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. You can call in now if you got questions for me, questions for Stuart. And Stuart, go ahead. You got about 2 minutes, 20 seconds left.
Yeah, so let folks know that I'm rebuilding Oath Keepers and also launching what I'm calling the Strong County Project to get ourselves strong and independent from the bottom up.
Yeah.
Families, neighborhoods, churches, towns, and county. Everyone has, you know, a neighborhood. They live in a neighborhood. They have a church nearby. All of those institutions need to be strengthened from the bottom up so that we can resist the beast system, the Peter Thiel total surveillance system that's coming. So we need to get strong locally. So if you want to go to gibsongo.com/oath and donate there. That would be wonderful because it would help me rebuild Oath Keepers and then also do the security work we're going to be doing. And we got disaster relief coming up too with the hurricane season. So please go to gibsongo.com/oath. And I've just kicked off of X. I think I might have sent you the picture.
Yeah. Okay. I did see that. Did you post a picture that was bad, Stuart? What did you do?
Well, I posted a picture of me, the Alamo, praying. And the post was, this is the only wall I pray at or kiss.
I got it right here. Yeah, here it is.
I'm an American Christian nationalist, America only.
And that's right there at the front door, isn't it?
That's right. It's the front door.
Of the chapel.
You don't want to touch it. You can't touch it because it deteriorates the limestone. So
yeah.
Out of respect for the Alamo, I didn't touch it. But that's my point is that I don't pray at any other wall in some foreign country. I pray at the Alamo or Independence Hall or Faneuil Hall or Lexington
Green, man. That's
like where we first met.
Yeah. That's where it all started.
Yeah.
So check out gibsongo.com/oath, oathkeepers.info. He's rebuilding it because you know what? And I think, you know, all these things that have happened in the past, these are all learning experiences that you're going forward with. You know, if you were to stop and say, oh, I'm done, you know, all that history and wisdom will be gone, but you've still got people there. I remember all the guys that were, are all the guys that were still with you back then, are they still there, like Guy Cunningham and people like that?
You know, I'm not sure about Guy. I'm not sure if he's still alive. That's a good question. We could have a reunion. I'll find out. But they're still, hey, like our oath is not expiring until we do.
There you go. All right, we'll be right back. We're going to take your phone calls. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thanks for watching. We'll be right back.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these... And fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put it in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think of methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on it since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I went and did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the War Room, and the final pinned tweet from the Oath Keepers. As a Texan, the only wall I'll ever kiss or pray at is the Alamo, not some wall in a foreign country. I'm an American-only Christian nationalist. Oh, that was probably what got you right there. Remember, God's hand was on this nation from Concord Bridge on, and founded... It's covered up with a big plus, so I can't see it. And on the foundation relied on his divine providence.
Yeah, the founders relied
on... The founders relied on his... Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And those are our God-given rights. So there, that's what happens when you don't kiss the right wall. Just stand and pray in front of the right wall. Get your account suspended. You think that's what it was from?
I think that had something to do with it. That, and I was retweeting other people calling out that pedophiles deserve the death penalty and should be executed. There was another post I did where there's a picture of
that's
tranny.
The wood chipper doctrine. We're all for the wood chipper doctrine.
A bunch of people post that kind of stuff, but you know, I think it's identity crime. I'm me, so I have no leeway whatsoever on X. Can't say stuff that even the founder of X says, you know.
Yeah, you're on DEFCON 1 already. So it's just like right. One thing and we're going to take it away. All right, we got some callers lined up. Let's go to Scotty in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Scotty. You have a long question there. I can barely read it with my glasses from here. So go ahead, sir. Welcome. Scotty, are you there? Yep, go ahead.
No. I thought it was on there. But Stuart's one of my favorite people.
Like, well, thanks, brother. Appreciate that.
In the USA. And we've got at least 20 people listening right now that I know of. And
all right, we have some callers lined up. Let's go to Scotty.
Hey, Scotty, think about what you're going to say. I'll come back to you. I think you did this yesterday, and you're great. I think you have great. You just got to. We're on radio, and yeah, dead air is the kiss of death. So I'm going to come back to you in 1 second. Think about what you want to say. I appreciate your passion.
I appreciate his kind words. I really do. Totally.
And you know, it's just and sometimes you get on there and you're like trying to think of what you want to say. Man, don't even worry about having a little note card or something. If you got something, you're with your points written down, and you just you got to get them out. I'll come right back to you in a couple callers. So let's go to Richard in Indiana. Has a question for you about the war. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, how you guys doing? Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to make a plug for Methylene Blue. I suffer from PTSD, anxiety, depression, was on multiple medications from the VA for years. It took me 2 months to wean off of those, just even try Methylene Blue. This stuff awesome. I found is just, it's all the benefits that I needed and none of the side effects whatsoever.
Do you find when you wake up, let me interrupt you 1 second, Richard. Do you find when you wake up, you're not like groggy, you're just like awake? I'd never experienced, like my all 30s and 40s, I would wake up and I'd be dead tired. And now when I wake up, I'm up.
Oh, no. One of the medications that I was on is because I was having problems with sleeping.
Okay.
And it just, I wake up, I'm good to go. I like the colostrum. It helps, you know, with the body and stuff like that, too. I mean, I'm on a lot of you guys' products. Been trying them all out. Find out what works best for me. But, man, that Methylene Blue, like, you know, consult your doctor before you take it. But,
yeah.
It is the bee's knees, man.
Are you a tincture or a pill guy, capsule guy?
Both. It just depends.
Okay.
What I have in the cabinet.
Stuart goes both ways, too, I know for a fact.
Only with Methylene Blue.
That's right. You know, I have my pill regime and I have my tincture regime.
Okay.
You know, and that usually goes with the green drink, you know. So it depends what makes the green drink taste the best. So,
yeah.
Hey, brother, I want to say, you know, as a fellow veteran, I even before I lost my benefits after that ridiculous, you know, conspiracy charge, I never went to the VA for medical care because they're horrible. So I'm glad to hear you wean yourself off of that nonsense by doing stuff that actually works for your health. That's fantastic.
And like the psych doctors there, I told, you know, I got with them. It's like, well, hey, I'm trying this now. I'm actually feeling better with all the medicines than the medicines that you prescribed me. Can you mm-hmm. prescribe this? And they're like, no, we don't prescribe that medicine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, they work for Big Pharma. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's all Big Pharma. But anyway, my question about the war. Now, I grew up in a military family. And
me too.
You know, we respected the military. You know, my uncle was a POW in World War II.
Wow.
So, you know, my dad served. All his brothers served. Hell, my dad was a boxing champion in World War II. Well, he's actually my grandpa, but, you know, they adopted me, so he was my dad forever. So, I know when I joined the military, it was for money. I mean,
where'd you serve?
I was poor, and most people are. But the only people who join the military are people who actually care to be in the military. They don't just go in there to make a paycheck. My right. question to you is, how do you really feel about, you know, they're boasting that all their numbers are being fulfilled early and everything else, is it more economic these days, or is it for glory of the country? I know, like, when I went in, it was, you know, glory of the country. I wouldn't even have tried going to that job.
Yeah. I think most, to this day, I think most young men and women that join the military, it's for service to their country. I think that President Trump coming back in as commander-in-chief led to a spike in recruitment because they trust him as their commander-in-chief. And they did not trust Obama. You know, a lot of guys left the military because of the COVID nonsense. I know a lot of veterans that did that. But I think they're coming back in. I would never recommend, for the first time in my life, I always recommended that young men serve in the military. Only when it was under Biden did I say, no, do not do that. So I think President Trump being back in led to a resurgence of that patriotism. Of course, there's also financial situations too, right? I mean, most of the people in the military, especially in the infantry, I'm not sure what you did. I was in infantry, but you know, these are working class poor, but they come from families like ours. You know, military history, our military service history and heritage. So it can be both. So that's what I would say. I'll tell you, I oppose the war right now with Iran because of what I saw in Iraq, what I saw in Afghanistan, and what I saw in my own service with the military not taking care of the troops. I don't like what I'm hearing. Like that one attack on a motor pool, I forgot where it was, but they were, you know, warning their superiors they needed better protection against drones, and they didn't get it. So I don't like what I'm hearing right now about what's happening. So, you know, I'm glad the mullah was killed. I think that was justifiable, but I don't think us planning an occupation of Iran is a good idea at all. I think we need regime change here at home, and I think this is a big distraction to distract President Trump from what's happening domestically, to run the clock out. That's what I think is going on, brother. What are your thoughts on the war?
Well, you know, people not having nuclear weapons is a good thing. But you know, right. if you're going to disarm Iran, you need to disarm Israel too, in my book. And any of those countries over there with hot little heads, and they're going to pop them off. You know, you have your superpowers. You have Russia, you have China, you have America. Yeah, they have them. You're not going to get them to get rid of them. Everybody else has no need for them. They only use them and will be horrible for everybody else. That's my biggest thing with any of these wars going on now. If you're going to disarm one, you got to disarm all.
Right.
But, you know. You can't disarm the big three, but you can disarm the other ones if you really wanted to.
Well, that's the problem, right? We have this is the problem I have. I don't want Benjamin Netanyahu and his cabinet deciding our foreign policy. I want American leaders deciding it, period. I want the influence of every foreign government, whether it's Israel or China or Russia, driven out of our politics. And that's not what's happening. So it's not America first, it's Israel first right now. It's just blunt reality. Am I glad they don't have the capacity to have nukes? Great, yeah, I agree with that. So, but they did mission shift, as Joe Kent's been showing. Mm-hmm. I think he's a hero. He's like, they went from, let's not let them have nukes, to let's not let them have any nuclear technology. Now it's regime change. They keep creeping it into what Netanyahu wants, which is he wants the Iranian regime taken down by the Americans. He doesn't care how many Americans die. He doesn't care what it turns into in a fiasco. He doesn't care about the economic downside of any of that. You know, you've been following Matt Brack and his analysis and Alex's analysis, and all the guys at InfoWars have been pointing out. We're being led into another quagmire. You know, I was an advocate for using special forces and bolstering the Iranian people to take over their own country, but that's not what's being done. I saw at CPAC in Dallas, you got this, you know, this new guy they're going to put out there as a new Shah. It's like, how many times are we going to repeat the same mistakes?
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be the Iranian people to decide their future.
It's got to be the Iranian people, or it will get toppled. I totally agree. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Richard. We're gonna move. We've been on with you for 8 minutes. Appreciate the plug, too. In fact, I think we have a video of Stuart Rhodes with his blue mug here that we might pop up here in a second. But let's go to Michael in Ohio, and Scani, then I'm going to come back to you. Go ahead, Michael's got a question for Stuart about abandoning the GOP. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, guys. I think you might have tried to take my call. I don't know, but I couldn't hear you announcing stuff. So can you hear me now?
Yeah, we just went right to you. You're good.
Yeah, go for it, brother.
Man, thank you. Hey, so I'm out in the woods mushroom hunting right now, and I just had to call. I got to ask Stuart, what, you know, obviously you kind of stated my question, but I feel like the parties are beholden to powers that we can't control. Whereas if yes. we get a movement behind independent registered voters, or not voters, sorry, candidates, we could run as many as we want. We could have 20, 30 independent candidates, and then the alternative media could take the time to interview, question, weed out, and sort out the true patriots in America only. I want America only. I don't want America first. I want America only candidates.
How
I want
dare
constitutional
you, Michael? How
candidates.
Dare you?
I know, right? That's anti-Semitic. But,
right. No, I'm with you. I mean, that's why I called myself. I went from America first to America only. I'm going to make it very clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So your
right.
question
I mean,
is
you know,
do you want to support independent? What's your question for me then?
So my thought is if we just, like how Bobby Kennedy ran as an independent and it forced Trump to pull him into his administration because he knew it was going to split the vote so much that, you know, that was a. That was a major victory.
I think that's why I did Tulsi as well. You know, Tulsi wasn't like a big establishment Democrat, but she had a lot of independent support. So I think mm-hmm. both those moves right. helped him in the election. Definitely helped him get the popular vote. 100% helped him get that popular vote.
And I feel like, you know, if we can get those candidates and get alternative media, people like Alex, Rob, you know, all you guys behind them and push them on your platforms to your people, the message will spread, just like we're seeing with patriotic GOP candidates. But my fear is once they get into office, they're beholden to that party. You know, the party's going to begin to make threats. They're going to say, well, we're going to cut your, you know, your, we're going to censor you, or we're going to pull you from your committees. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. So I feel like that is the ultimate message we need to push. You know, maybe not so much just the Republican Party, but just period patriots that are America first. And then I had a second quick topic where in Ohio I fought my own pro se case against the texting while driving law because in Ohio, I don't know how it's worded in other states, but it literally says does not apply, and then it lists like five subsections to who it does not apply to, and it doesn't apply to first responders. And my argument in court was that's against our 14th Amendment because there's no equal protection under the law when you're going to segregate classes. You know, the 14th Amendment mainly applies to races, but it does say if you can say that it's an established class, that it applies to that. And I took it clear to the appellate court in Ohio, and the Fifth District Court said, no, it doesn't say that it doesn't apply. It just says that that's their basis for argument. And I'm like, the law literally says it does not apply, which in legal definition means to make an appeal or a petition to the court.
Right. So, let me answer your questions one at a time. So on the topic of independence, I would remind everyone that it was the independent vote that turned out for President Trump three times that led to three victories. Independence, Ron Paul Republicans, Libertarians, walkaway Democrats all crossed over and voted for President Trump in 2016, again in 2020, and again in 2024, because they believed that he was going to put America first, and they believed that he was going to clean house and drain the swamp. That is your coalition right there, and that he was anti-war. And this reminds me of Ron Paul. I worked for Ron Paul in Congress, and I worked on his campaign in 2008. And he got a huge cross-section of young people, mm-hmm. the same people that Charlie Kirk is reaching out to and galvanizing, turned out for Ron Paul. A lot of independents, a lot of walkaway Democrats. In fact, there were some walkaway Democrats who became Republicans for Ron Paul who helped me found Oath Keepers, just like Tulsi Gabbard walked away from it. So that's the whole point. Whether you want to call them independents, whether you want to call them, you know, Ron Paul Republicans or America First or America Only Republicans, I personally don't care. So I would say we need to take over the Republican Party from the bottom up. That's why I'm starting the Strong County Project. We're going to focus on town and county level politics. That's where rubber meets the road. That's where we can make the most impact. And we need clean elections. Like where I live right now in Gillespie County in the hill country of Texas, we have hand count ballots. We did that at the county level. And that's also being tried right now in Dallas County. They're fighting over it. That's where the fight is. You have to have hand count One day, paper ballots, that's your only way to have clean elections. Otherwise, the uniparty machine, like Rob said, is two arms of the same beast or two wings of the same bird of prey, you know, as Pat Buchanan called it. The machine, like here in Texas, the machine stole the nomination for governor from Doc Chambers. The Abbott machine did that. So we have to clean house at the local level. But yes, we have to have America only. I don't care if they're independents or Republicans. But I agree, that's what you have to do. And I am not going to hold my nose and vote for a rhino sellout who I know is going to go into Congress and continue to destroy our country. My oath will not let me do that. So this is that's the Republican Party's fault for running crap candidates. Not my fault.
I've never voted for John Cornyn. Never.
Exactly. Never. Yeah. You're exactly right. So, Rob, you want to answer that?
Well, no, I mean, I'm just saying I'm not going to do that either. If it's a rhino Republican, if it's if I Patch McCain was in my district, I would have never have voted for him. Even if I would have voted for the Libertarian candidate or something. Just, you know, and it's like, you can't just go. I bitched about this the other day, when Trump endorsed Lindsey Graham. I'm like, listen, we got to stop going, well, he's got something on Lindsey so he can control him. No, why don't we just get somebody in who's like just a normal person? Why can't we have a normal person who's like, yeah, I like my country. I want to see my country succeed. Oh, no, we have to get these backstabbing double dealers who like fund terrorists across the world because he can control him. No, that's not what we want. We just want normal people who care about their country. That's all we need. And we can fix everything.
Hey, man, that's why it's so frustrating. Like here in Texas, you know, we saw Trump endorsements for Teixeira, the baseball player, to replace that Chip Roy seat instead of Trey Traynor, who was I endorsed him for the seat because for the Congress, because he had served as EOC, Equal Opportunity. No, he's at the election chair. He served under the Trump administration for the EOC. That should have been the candidate. Why could Trump didn't endorse him? Instead, he follows whoever told him to endorse Teixeira. So Trump endorsements to me, frankly, I look at them as okay, if Trump endorsed somebody now, I'm assuming they're a deep stater. That's what I'm assuming now.
Or deep state adjacent. All right, thanks for the call, Michael. We got some nice long-winded callers. I like it. Okay, let's go back to Scotty. Scotty, you ready? I need you to let her rip. We got 5 minutes, but hopefully you can finish it in a couple. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Rob. Thank you for letting me speak. And I don't know, Stuart, if you remember meeting me outside of the steakhouse where I met you and Jason Burmes, Alex, one of the crew members, and Joe Bannister, all on the same night, right?
When we were in Lexington, Connecticut, right?
No, that was Chantilly, Virginia. Creepy.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know one of my election integrity friends in Texas, and shout out to her. Not going to say her name. Okay. But I want to see what your pushback is right now and what
on what? Are you pushback expecting? On what? Pardon? You broke up, brother.
What are you expecting coming up on pushback regarding your case?
A pushback regarding your case is what he said.
Pushback from who? From the government? From who?
Yeah, from the government.
I think what Scotty's getting at is they might try to like double deal you at the end or something, and they're holding us out there for some good press, and then maybe at the last minute withdraw it. I think it's what he's getting to.
Yeah, I mean, there's that risk that this is some move by someone in the DOJ to say, oh, we tried, but the court wouldn't let us. But I don't think so. I think they're afraid of these appeals going forward. I mean, our briefs were due tomorrow for all of our cases, all 12 of us. And so I don't think they wanted those briefs filed. They didn't want that litigated. They didn't want all the crimes, all the subornation of perjury and everything else that they did, all the violations of rights. They didn't want that coming out. I mean, the Proud Boys did an excellent job in exposing the fact that, you know, Jeremy Bertino, the Proud Boy, was coerced into a false confession and false testimony, and he committed perjury. And he gave an affidavit and video testimony that he was forced into that. So things like that, Like, that's why I brought up Harry Dunn and Oscar Lazarus. They're caught red-handed, in our case, committing perjury. They didn't want that out. I believe that's more likely true. And I think it's a political win for President Trump right now. So I think it's a for them, it's a win-win. They can brush that under the rug and have to worry about litigating that right now, but also be perceived by the MAGA base as you know, doing something positive for us, which is positive. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's a great blessing. I mean, I thank God that this is happening for us. Like, all those men are innocent men. A lot of them are, you know, Zach Real, Dominic Pozzola, Joe Biggs, they're veterans. Ethan's an innocent man. They're, you know, all the Oath Keepers also. You're some of the Proud Boys. There's, you know, there's eight Oath Keepers altogether, all of us, all eight of us. Mm-hmm. They're all innocent men. So we need to be pardoned or exonerated. This doesn't exonerate us, but it does erase our convictions, which to me is the same as exoneration. My rights will be restored. So it's a blessing for that. And we'll take what we can get. But we won't shut up. I'm not going to be silent about what I think.
Totally. Let's go to Dave in Pennsylvania. We've got 2 minutes left. Dave wants to ask you about Epstein. Go ahead, Dave. What's your question?
Hey, Stuart. How are you?
What's up, brother?
Not much. My question to you is, if the government fails us, they don't go after anybody on this Epstein list, at what point do a lot of good men have to start doing a lot of bad things?
Because that's why I got kicked off of X, possibly, because I was saying just exactly that. In fact, I posted a photo, a drawing, actually, of Alexander the Great solving the puzzle of the Gordian knot. How he did it is he pulled his sword out and chopped it in half. And I said, if Alexander the Great can solve the puzzle of the Gordian knot, we can solve these problems, too. I posted that drawing. So I think it's probably why, one of the reasons why I got kicked off of X also. I was kind of skirting the edge of stating the obvious that, yes, if our government, if the Trump administration that we voted for with the promise of exposing all the pedophiles, if they don't take them out, we cannot live in a world run by pedophiles or a country run by pedophiles. I refuse to do that. I will not leave my children living in. So I agree. And so if President Trump, and that's why, you know, no one's beyond redemption. We got to help him get back on track. Yeah. I'm going to disagree with some of my fellow J6ers. Like, oh, I got to support Trump no matter what. No, you don't. You're not doing President Trump any favors by going along and turning a blind eye when the emperor has no clothes. You're not helping him by praising his new clothes. You got to call it out. He is failing in his promises. He needs to get back on track. Let's bring him around.
There you go. 20 seconds, Dave. I'll let you finish up. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to join the Oath Keepers. I was looking on your webpage. So.
Let's do it, brother.
Oathkeepers.info is where you can find more information on that. We'll be right back. Stuart, you want to stay over? You want to keep going?
I'll stay over, brother. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll keep going. I got a lot more callers lined up. I just plan on doing callers the whole third hour, so we'll do it.
I'm very pleased to announce two new great products at thealexjonesstore.com that will 100% work and deliver you energy, clarity, and also, when you want to relax, great calm, rest, and sleep. Now, a lot of our products are very complex, game-changing, cutting-edge, you name it. But there's a lot of things that are very simple and proven that are still the best. Now, we have several other great energy formulas at thealexjonesstore.com, and they're more complex. But Ultimate Energy is very, very simple. And this is one of the most popular, long-running energy combinations on the market at Whole Foods and everywhere else because it really works. It's Ultimate Energy, thealexjonesstore.com. Very strong dose of wide-spectrum, organic, time-released caffeine with a big dose of high-quality L-theanine that gives you focus and clarity but relaxes you. So with the caffeine, it's very, very smooth without the letdown, lasts up to 10 hours. That's Ultimate Energy. But when you're ready to relax, Ultimate Chill, a strong dose of high-quality ashwagandha root, known for thousands of years, give people rest, clarity, focus. Doesn't make you tired, just makes you relax, kind of a zen focus. And then on top of that, a big dose of L-theanine that also gives you calm, clear focus. Great rest, great relaxation, great dreams. That's so good for your immune system, your entire body. So some days when I've been working from 5 a.m. to, say, 10 p.m., and I've been, you know, jacked up on our great supplements and you name it, I will go to this formula, Ultimate Chill. That's why I actually came to Bigly and said, hey, I'm already using a brand from Whole Foods. This is what's in it. Make it a little bit stronger. So this is a formula I've been using for years to relax. If I'm having trouble, you know, being able to kind of ease into non-work mode, and this is how I do it. Simple, proven ingredients that work in a high-quality fusion. Now available at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.